author of our salvation. Behold the wonder of grace so free. Behold the wonder of true forgiveness at Calvary. Behold the answer for all the broken. Behold the mercy that makes a way. Behold the promise of perfect healing at Calvary. Come and see.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. You're the light of the world. Hearts and minds are waking up to the light of the world. We celebrate again today Epiphany, let's say, part two, the rest of the story. Epiphany actually was on January the 6th. It was this week. And typically we will celebrate Epiphany after the Epiphany Sunday. Last week we celebrated Epiphany and the baptism of the Lord Sunday. Typically at the beginning of each year, we'd like to have a remembrance of our own baptisms, and we do a celebration of that, and we remember the waters of our baptism. We're going to do that next week. So we've shuffled some things around because in order to celebrate baptism, we need people here. And next week, we are opened up. Can you take a view of the seats right now? Can we pan them? Is that okay? So that they can see out there? Okay. You'll notice that our chairs are set more than 6 feet apart. Each row is set more than 6 feet apart. So if you sit in the one row and someone sits behind you, you are socially distanced. Our chairs are 20-some inches. Each chair takes a place of about 22 inches. So families can sit together in a row, and we ask that you leave 4 chairs. That's 80-some inches. You'll be socially distanced. So we'll be able to fill up this place, keeping socially distanced. You wear your mask. We want people to be safe. And we are inviting you to come here for worship next week. Now, we're not inviting everyone because if you're feeling ill, we want you to remain home and worship with us on YouTube as you have been doing. If you don't feel confident yet to go out and you're afraid, and that's okay, please stay home. But for those that want to be in physical worship together, and there's a real need for that, then we invite you to come next week and bring people with you that also want to worship physically in this place. In this place, hearts and minds are awakening, right? In this place, where two or more gather in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So next week, we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to celebrate the sacrament of baptism. We're going to remember it of water and the Spirit. That's what we'll be focusing on in the next week. This week, we begin the series of Come and See. The invitation that Jesus gives to his disciples, the invitation that Jesus gives to all of us to come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we're using this part of this year to begin again, to begin anew, and to allow God's Spirit to work deep down inside us so that we can do that proverbial thing, Tom, and that we can offer that corner, the best part of ourselves to our God. Now I ask you to please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to you from John's gospel, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. Hear these words. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of love, God of eternity, Creator God, who said, let it be, and it was. We give you thanks always in every way for the gift of your holy word. For your word inspires us. Your word informs us about who you are and whose we are. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy word today. We give you thanks for the gift of the living word in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we thank you for all the words we have heard from Scripture this morning, starting in Psalm 139, 1 Samuel, and now John 1:43-51, including Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Lord, take every one of those pieces of your truth and apply them to our hearts and minds in such a way that we might be inspired for the remainder of this week, so that we might be and become the people that you created us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, today, these are some of my favorite pieces of Scripture, the whole thing. Starting in the beginning with the Psalm 139 piece, that God knows us, that he sees us, that he's in our innermost being. And that's amazing. Isn't that an amazing thing? And then the piece of Scripture from 1 Samuel, the call of Samuel, where he is staying at the house, and this is at the temple, with Eli, who is the high priest. And it's interesting because Samuel is the son of Hannah. Hannah is the woman that came to the temple praying to God, just pouring out her spirit because she was without child. And Eli saw her praying and thought she was drunk. In fact, dressed her down because of it. And she told him that she was praying for a baby. And she had made a commitment to God that when she would receive the gift of a child, she would, like the first corners, that you talked about, Tom, she would return that child and dedicate that child back to God. That it was important for her to have a child, but it was more important that she gave that child to God. And so so she brought Samuel, when Samuel was born, to the temple to present Samuel, as the custom said. But then she left Samuel at the temple. We have people all the time saying, well, you know, in the Baptist church, they will do a dedication. And they'll talk about Hannah bringing Samuel, you know, to the temple and dedicating the child to God's service. And so they'll say to me, Pastor Tony, we'd like to just do a dedication because we want the child to come themselves to baptism as an adult. And I said, well, we can do that. But here's the thing we won't do. You're not going to leave that baby here. We're not going to take that baby in here and raise that baby like Samuel. That's not going to happen. So as long as you understand that, we can do a dedication, and then later on their confirmation will be their baptism. But, you know, levity aside, in both cases, whether we come and bring a child, an infant child, to the baptismal font, we dedicate that baby to God's service. That baby doesn't know what's going on. Just as Samuel didn't know what was going on, and that's what that scripture reveals to us today. He didn't know what was going on. He was hearing from God in the temple, Samuel. Samuel, he's thinking it's Eli. It reminded me a couple of years back, about 3 years ago, my daughter, her husband Jared, and their little baby Noah, and their friend Maria, who worked with my daughter, came and spent Christmas with us here. And as they did, after the Christmas celebration, the Monday night football game was the Oakland Raiders. Now, my son-in-law Jared is a big Oakland Raiders fan. He's got a tattoo of the Raiders on this. He grew up in New England. I don't understand it, you know. But that's who he is. And they were on the Monday night game. And he said to me,
Tony, you gonna watch the Raiders with me tonight? And I said, no, Jared, I think I'm gonna go to bed. And so he was asking everyone in the household, and everyone was going to bed. So my daughter Lauren said to him, now, Jared, we want you to watch the Raiders. Enjoy yourself, stay down, but don't come upstairs and wake me up. So bring your pillow, bring your, you know, your blanket, and watch the Raiders, and then sleep on the couch. No problem. So anyway, through the night, Jared, and I think they lost. So he's laying there, and it wasn't a great night for him, and all of a sudden, he thought he heard, Jared, Jared. So he heard this several times through the night. In the morning when we had breakfast together, he asked me, he says, you know, Tony, he says, has anyone ever reported that your house is haunted? I said, haunted? He goes, yeah, like, has anyone ever reported ghosts in your house? I said, oh, yeah. He said, really? I said, yeah, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is alive and well in this household. Why are you asking me that? He said, because last night, after, you know, sleeping for a while, I heard someone saying to me, Jared, Jared. Now, he had asked everyone in the household. It wasn't Dottie. Dottie never heard, and Dottie hears everything. But she didn't hear that. I didn't hear it. Maria didn't hear it. And nor did Lauren say anything to him. She didn't call for him. She was sleeping. And it wasn't their son. He was a little tyke at the time. Jared, Jared. I said, okay, Jared. I said, here's what you do. The next time you hear that call, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. He looked at me like I had two heads. But Maria got it, and she says, oh, bravo, bravo, bravo. God speaks to us. And I don't know whether it was you, Tom, or whether it was you, Holly. Someone said here, sometimes we can ignore God. God will be in our midst, and we don't recognize him. Just as Jesus was born, and he came to that which was his own, and his own did not recognize him. That's the story of us a lot of times. But there are times in our life when we hear God calling, he's speaking that soft, gentle voice. Tony, you know, Lucy, Tom, Holly, Beth, Dan, Cynthia, Dottie way back there. He speaks to us, and he calls us by our name. And he lets us know that he loves us and that he has a task for us. He wants us to know that there's something going on that he wants us to be aware of, and then he wants us to join him in whatever it is that he's doing. He invites us in. He invites us into the kingdom of heaven, and he invites us into the work of the kingdom of heaven. And he does it in a gentle way. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God gave him a message. It wasn't a message that Eli wanted to hear, but he faithfully delivered that message. I remember when I was exploring ministry, and I was thinking, well, you know what, maybe I'll go to seminary and I'll do youth ministry and I'll do this and I'll continue to do my business and like kind of keep my feet in two parts of the world. And I prayed to God to give me a direction. And I was teaching fifth grade classes at the time. And the way I taught fifth grade classes was I would have them peer teach. I would set up the things that they would teach, and I would, you know, be a part of it, and I would work with whoever the leader was through the week. But this one week when I had gone to God in prayer, asking God to show me clearly what it was that he wanted me to do, I went to that Sunday, service, but before the service, I was in the fifth grade Sunday school program. And I'm sitting there, because I'm just participating by listening. And the girl that had the study that day was speaking from this piece of scripture. And I sat in the corner of the room because it touched me when I heard her say, Samuel, Samuel, I heard Tony, Tony. And when Eli said, when you hear that again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I prayed that prayer that day, and God answered my prayer. He gave me a clarity. And I sat in the corner of that room crying my eyes out because it touched me so directly. And I didn't want the kids to see me blubbering. And so I'm like sitting back there and I'm like scratching my head and all this. But I'll tell you what, I was touched. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I just love that. Today's gospel message comes to us and it starts out the next day. What next day? The next day. Well, what happened on the other day? Well, what happened on the other day was Peter was called. That Jesus had called Peter through Andrew and Philip. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth did not have the best of reputations. Several years ago, I was in here and I was doing a youth thing, and we were talking about this particular thing. And remember Tim Peace, he's a little guy then. Not so little, but he's sitting beside me. And I was saying that, and we were talking about colloquialisms in the children's sermon. We were talking about sayings, and we were talking about Pittsburgh sayings, you know, that are local sayings, like yinzes, you know, and stuff like that. You go different places, and that doesn't make sense to people. Or I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., and we had a little bit of ice on the ground, and Dottie was there, and she said, it's slippy today. I said, slippy? What's slippy? You mean slippery? No, I mean slippy. And then I came to Pittsburgh, and I realized this was, even the weatherman says, it's going to be a slippy day today. You know, we have these sayings, and the sayings are in the locality. And if you go somewhere else and you hear those sayings, they don't make much sense to you. And so as I was talking with the youth, and I said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And I said, New England? Can anything good come out of New England? And Tim says, no. Nothing good can come out of New England. And it just cracked me up. He always cracks me up. But in today's gospel message, when you read it, you got to scratch your head if you're anything like me, because it says that when Jesus sees Nathanael, he talks to Nathanael as though he knew him. Here is an Israelite in which there is no deceit. How do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree. What in the world does that mean? I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And right then, he says, you are the Son of God, you are the teacher, and you are the King of Israel. Huh? How do you get that from that? Several years ago, I was in a play. And I forget the name of the play. It's like The Last Supper. Remember The Last Supper, like Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper portrait? And the play is kind of like that. Everyone's sitting at this big table. Jesus is in the center. And all the disciples are right along, like you've seen The Last Supper painting. And one by one, there's a question that's asked. Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And each person at that table wants to know, is it I? And I call the play, Is It I? But I think it's called The Last Supper, or, you know, in New England we called it The Last Supper. You know, but were all at that table, and I played Nathaniel. And wanting to do a good job in Nathaniel, I went and looked up all the, you know, there's not much in the Bible about Nathaniel, but there's commentaries that speak about Nathaniel, and there's commentaries that speak about this particular verse in the Bible. And one of the commentaries, and I forget where I found it, it said that the people in that day, in Jesus' day, was an agronomy. It was an agricultural economy. And that it was typical in that day that women who would give birth to a baby would give birth, and they would leave the baby with, like, the housemaids that took care of all the babies, and they would then go back out into the field, and it would be under a fig tree because they had these big, broad leaves, and the sun didn't beat down on them. So when Jesus was saying to Nathanael, I knew you when you were a little pup. That's what the first reading says to us today when we opened up Scripture with 139, Psalm 139, that says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When I was a kid and I realized that God knew my every thought, it scared the bejeebus out of me because I knew my thoughts and they weren't always good. But God is good and God is redemptive and God will clean you up. And so now when I read these things and I know that God knows my every thought, knows my every thinking, I welcome that. I welcome the gift of the Holy Spirit in me to adjust me, to shape me, to move me towards the way that leads to everlasting. Samuel found that out in his life when he said, Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's the key. Listening. Jesus invites these disciples. He's inviting Nathanael in to the kingdom of heaven. And he tells him that he knows who he is. And because he knows who he is, he touches Nathanael in a way that now Nathanael knows, this person is the very God that created me. This person has the key to life eternal. This person knows where I am. Now, I told you, that was a commentary that I read when I was doing that play. But there's other commentaries that say kind of the same thing. That perhaps that when Nathanael was under the fig tree, he, like me, was asking God to show him himself, to give him a sign, to give him something that he could put his life around. And so that when finally he says, you are an Israelite in which there is no deceit, no guile. How do you know me? I saw you. When you prayed to me under that fig tree, I know who you are. And it touches him in such a way that the Spirit of God says, yes, this is it. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the King of Israel. This is the one that you can follow. That you can follow. We're going to be in this follow series for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be inviting people to come and follow the one that leads us not astray, but leads us in the right way. We know we're not going to get that from government. What a mess. We're not going to get that from media. What a mess. We're not going to get that anywhere else but here. In God's word.
That's
God's Spirit. And my prayer and my challenge to all of us is that we're like Philip in this, and also like Nathaniel, that when we hear God speak, we listen and we follow. But not just stay there. Be like Andrew. Be like Philip, who invited others in. And here's the thing. You will never know the person you invited in, how God will use their life. You won't know what kind of impact that person might have. You don't know how many people that person might reach. So invite. Bring people in. Tell them you found the one that Moses talked about. And all the scriptures were all about the Messiah, the Lord, the light of the world, who awakens in us God's own Spirit. Next week, when we gather here together, we'll have the baptismal font. I have ordered a sprinkler that will be able to remember the waters of our baptism without touch. We'll be able to take that and just kind of get the people wet, a little bit wet, with clean, holy water. And I was telling Dan earlier today that I always wanted one of these things. We ordered this week. In the past, I've used actually palms and put palms in and just sprinkled. One time I did that, and what I didn't realize is palms are dyed. They dye them green. So that when I was like going like this to people, they were having these little green droplets all over their coat. And they said it was so wonderful to get that water sprinkle, but it was green. Next week we'll have green pyramids up, because that's what discipleship is all about, growth. And I just said, well, then that's good. That means it took, like the litmus test. But seriously, we're going to remember the waters of our baptism. We're going to invite people to dig in and to learn from the one that will show us life everlasting. It begins here. It begins now, right in this place, right in this time. Pray with me, please. Lord, the truth of the matter is that you gift all of us, even those that don't know you. You have gifted them for your service in the kingdom. And Lord, we remember that as we celebrate together and we come together in your presence. We get to see you in each other. We get to see reflections of you in the body of Christ that you have energized to take and to heal the world. Bless us as your children, Lord, and help us to grow in wisdom and knowledge and love of you all the days of our life. And help us to be invitational. Help us to invite others in so that they too might know that our God truly is God, all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.